We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. And we're thankful that you are a part of our congregation today. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to our international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you. The Apostle John said, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the light of the gospel and for the desire that you have put in our heart to walk in the light. And we're also thankful for the privilege of sharing the light of the gospel with this precious congregation today. And we're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany our broadcast and make it a blessing to each and to every heart. We're so thankful that you love everyone, you care for everyone, and you've told us to cast all of our care upon you. So bless our congregation today and use this broadcast to encourage hearts. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Way of Truth singers are going to continue the musical part of our broadcast service, singing for us, "Be Strong and Firmly Trust."
Be strong and valiant for the truth. Resist the tempter's luring power. Shine all the light. avenues of sin. And trusting God each day and night. Be strong and firmly trust. And keep us from the wrong. Be strong and firmly trust in God through everything. Be true and fearless stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed. He is our rock, our power high, and to the meek He giveth grace. A shield He is to them that trust, a joy of those that seek His face. Be strong and firmly trust. Not, He said, whatever in their hearts will find, and make you lie in pastures green, in paths of pleasantness He'll guide. Be strong and firmly trust. Stand, and with His grace and strength be blessed.
Our subject for today's broadcast, What is Truth? And our text of Scripture, Psalm 1 and verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. There are various verses that speak of delight, and I'll refer to two. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 16. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Psalm 119, verse 47. What does it mean to be delighted? To be highly pleased, happy, great joy, or pleasure, glad. We have an example of this in the Bible when David led the people who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and brought it into Jerusalem. The covenant, the ark, had been taken from them by the Philistines earlier, and it had been taken different places. But David went and got it and was bringing it up to Jerusalem. This is recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 6. And David was very happy. He was delighted as they were bringing the ark into Jerusalem. And that's just one example that we can find in the Bible, but I'm sure that we personally are acquainted with those things which have delighted us and made us happy, and we have been around others who were delighted and happy over a given thing. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. So we read in Psalm 122 and 1, and how thankful we need to be if we have the privilege of meeting with other saints of God in divine worship services. We indeed should be delighted. We should not have to be begged to go to the house of worship. We should desire to go there to fellowship with other saints of God, to hear the Word of God preached, and to worship the Lord. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Another verse out of Psalm 119, verse 35. Why should one delight in God's commandments? Well, his commandments are true. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So Jesus said, as recorded in John 8 and 31, 32. Now, sin is bondage. Sin is a prison. Isaiah the prophet prophesied that whenever Christ came, he would open the prison. And Jesus himself, there in the synagogue at Nazareth, reading from the scroll of Isaiah, read that portion of Scripture. We know it today as Isaiah 61. And after Jesus read that portion of Scripture about how he had been anointed to preach the gospel and to open the prison and set the captives free, he sat down and all eyes were upon him, and he told the people there in the synagogue, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And so sin is bondage. But if you continue in the Word of God, then you shall be a disciple of Christ indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free, yes, not bondage. Truth liberates. It's error that binds and blinds. Obeying his commandments brings freedom to your soul. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Again, the words of Jesus in John 8, and this time verse 36. To delight in the commandments of the Lord means your heart is right with the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8 and 1. What is truth? First, what is not truth? Truth is not error. I say truth is not error. Truth is not self-contradictory. Truth is not deception. The philosophy of relativism says that all truth is relative and there is no such thing as absolute truth. Relative means what is truth for one may not be truth for another. But, beloved, truth is universal. Is that statement that I just quoted, is that statement a relative truth or is it an absolute truth? The statement was that there is nothing absolute, that it's all relative. Is that a truthful statement or is it a relative statement? If it is a relative statement, then it really means nothing. How do we know when a certain thing is applied, if it is truth or whether it is not truth? But, beloved, absolute truth is something that is positive, and you do know, and it does exist. Does that statement that I'm quoting about everything being relative, is that a statement of relativism, or is it a statement of truth? If it is an absolute truth, then there is such a thing as absolute truth. And if it's relativism, then it really has no meaning at all. What is absolute truth? Something cannot bring itself into existence. That's an absolute truth. The Greek word for truth literally means to unhide or hiding nothing. The Hebrew word for truth means firmness, constancy, duration. Truth is that which corresponds to reality. Let me give you a little example. If we were all in a room facing the same direction, and I said, the door is to your right, and that door was to your right, then that's an absolute truth. That's a reality. And truth is a reality. To fail to love the truth opens the door to deception. And I want to emphasize that point. To fail to love the truth is to open the door to deception. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in mine affliction. So we read in Psalm 119 and verse 92. With all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And let me call your attention to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'll begin reading with verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So to reject truth is to open the door to error. What is truth? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus said in his prayer to the Father in John 17 and 17. Yes, Jesus said the word of God was truth. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that verse, of course, is speaking about Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 and 1. And then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, John 14 and verse 6, and those are the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, what is truth? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Another verse out of Psalm 119, this time 105. So the word of God, being truth, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Truth is light, and light is truth. Darkness is error, and we are not to walk in darkness, but we are to walk in the light, according to the Apostle John. And if we will, we will have fellowship with God, and we'll have fellowship with one another. Now, following are some things that are absolute truth. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? That's Romans 6, 1 and 2, and that is an absolute truth. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Another absolute truth. There is one God. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Isaiah 45, 22. Another absolute truth. There is one Lord. I am the Lord. I change not. Malachi 3 and 6. Another truth, absolute truth. There is one Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4 and 4. And this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said in regard to the Holy Spirit, whenever he is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. There is one body. And He, Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1 and 18, another absolute truth. There is one faith. People want to know what faith you are of. Well, there's only one true faith, according to the Apostle Paul. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And that's Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. There is one faith, Ephesians 4 and 5. You must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. Another absolute truth that Jesus told Nicodemus on that notable night when Nicodemus came to visit him, inquiring about what he should do to have eternal life. Jesus said, you must be born again. Otherwise, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not something that you can join. It's not something that you can sign a decision card and become a part of. It is something. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and it takes a spiritual birth to enter this spiritual kingdom. Another absolute truth is there is one Savior, and we are told this by the Apostle Peter in Acts 4 and 12, when he said, there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we may be saved, except that one name, and that name is Jesus Christ. And again, I refer to the words of Jesus in John 14 and 6, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So you must be born again to become a part of the kingdom of God. Otherwise, you'll never be a part of the kingdom of God. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And I don't suppose I have to spend a lot of time to prove that point. All you've got to do is go around town and see all the cemeteries and here and there and everywhere else. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, you'll agree with the first part, but a lot of people don't want to agree with the second part. It doesn't say in this verse of Scripture, 9:27 Hebrews, that there after death comes the rapture, or after death comes the millennial reign. No, it says after death comes the judgment. Yes, there will be a resurrection, and all that are in the grave shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And Christ said, according to Matthew 25, that before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate the good from the bad, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. So the saved and the unsaved will be at the judgment bar of God at the same time. And that is an absolute truth. The graveyard proves the first part of that verse is absolute truth, and the second coming of Christ will, to judge the world, will prove the second part an absolute truth as well. Are you ready for Christ's coming? He is coming again. He told the disciples, I will come again. But he's coming to judge the world in righteousness, not to set up a literal kingdom. So are you ready for Christ's coming? When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So, beloved, there is such a thing as absolute truth. And the fact that some people want you to believe that everything is relativism does not change the fact that there is truth. God is God, and God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and the Word of God is truth. So there is such a thing as absolute truth. Believe it, accept it, and live it. Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit accompany what has been said and make them a blessing to our congregation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you. We do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. Don't take what we have said as fault-finding. We have endeavored to preach the Word of God, which we believe to be absolute truth. Now, our mailing address, The Way of Truth, broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net, our email address. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, on our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, or you may listen to a number of broadcasts if you have missed any or you would like to hear one over. They are there on our internet or on our webpage, and you may go to our webpage to get our broadcasts or the magazine. And also, you can join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our Sunday evening service begins at 6. And our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Avner Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today. And we'd like to invite you to tune in this station next week at the same time when the Lord willing will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the Lord's blessings abide is our prayer.
Too many rivers my feet have walked through.
too much to gain.